Welcome to Parker United Methodist Church in Parker, Colorado, and thank you for being a part of this weekly broadcast. Whether you're a longtime listener or with us for the first time, we're hoping you'll find inspiration and blessing here with us during this lesson. We're so glad you could join us this week for the message of Parker United Methodist Church, where we welcome all to discover and share the joy of Jesus' love.
Well, let me add my word of welcome to you. It is the first Sunday in June, and we're going to share together the sacrament of the Lord's Supper in just a few moments. We have some really wonderful things that are happening. Cody mentioned to you the annual conference session that's coming up, and on Sunday morning next week at the annual conference session will be the ordination service. It's always kind of the highlight of the experience, and at this particular ordination service, the Reverend Cody Anderson will be commissioned toward ministry. You can say congratulations. That would be cool. Our own Pat Bell will also be commissioned as he makes his way toward the process of ordination. So Sunday morning, you'll be in prayer. You might even want to be present. If you'd like to be present, we'd love to be able to share with you some details. Let me invite you to take a moment, if you would, to find your pew Bible or your own Bible that you have close by, and let's open to the Gospel of Luke chapter 22 in the New Testament. Luke chapter 22, and if you'll put your finger right there, we're going to get there in just a moment because we want to talk about a remarkable event that just happened only 12 days ago, an earth-changing, transformational experience happened that was a time of great celebration. It was a gift that happened to the entire world. The global community has been transformed by this remarkable event that happened. Now, sometimes we think about remarkable events, life-changing events, you know, a war comes to a close, or someone is elected, or some event has taken place that's changed the course of a nation. But this was an event that actually had global implications. The problem was there was no news coverage. Nobody saw it on the nightly news. World leaders did not gather. But 12 days ago, on May 24th, we marked the 278th anniversary of John Wesley's heartwarming experience that gave birth to the Methodist movement. It started with one person, and there are millions. It's been a global event that has unfolded. Did you celebrate it at your house? Did you celebrate? Light a candle or something? You know, I mean, May 24th, 1738, John Wesley, he said in his journal that he went reluctantly to a Bible study that took place at 28 Aldersgate Street in London. The days leading up to the experience were difficult for him. He was discouraged. He was downhearted. Some people even thought that maybe he had been experiencing a very significant time of personal depression. He recorded in his journal that he was heavy-hearted and downcast in his spirit. And then on Wednesday, May 24th, about 8:45 in the evening, he happened to be present at a Moravian church where a group of people were studying the book of Romans. And as the person reading the preface to the book of Romans that was written by Martin Luther, as somebody was reading that along, it came to a section about the time when God can interact in our hearts and can transform the human heart. And Wesley had a remarkable experience. You probably know all about it, but let me read from his journal. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About 8:45, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. Wesley's life was changed in that moment, and his change brought a transformational movement to life that began to change the entire world. May 24th, 1738. From that day forward, he found himself in a time of great struggle. Just because he had had this remarkable experience with the Holy Spirit didn't mean that there weren't going to be difficulties. In fact, he found the next few days were very, very difficult, filled with temptations and difficulties that he didn't really even understand. And then finally, he began to see fruitfulness in his ministry, and he began to testify about what God had done for him, and God began to affirm all the things that had happened in his life. And about that same time, he took on a spiritual practice that he continued throughout his life. He took on the practice of participating in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper as often as possible, sometimes even daily. And up until his death in March of 1791, Wesley took the Lord's Supper almost every single day. And he did that for two reasons. One reason is he wanted to demonstrate his thankfulness to God for what God had done for him. And a second reason, he wanted to be certain that his life was always continually open to new possibilities that God had in store for him. And so he wanted to be sure that there were no barriers between his relationship with God. There was no limitation to what God could do in his own life, because it was his deep desire to know God, to love God, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and neighbor as himself. That gift of sharing the Lord's Supper every single day became a part of not only his journey, but becomes a part of a journey of faith that continues to expand for people all around the globe. We read about the Passover from the book of Exodus, the key event in the Jewish history from the time of Moses all the way up until today. The identification of God's desire to intervene in the lives of individuals to provide grace and forgiveness and freedom becomes very significant for us even at this very moment. We also read the Apostle Paul's teaching about the Lord's Supper, about how we might receive. So now let's read from the Gospel of Luke, as Luke records the account when Jesus gathered his apostles, his disciples, together at that table to be able to celebrate the Passover meal. From Luke 22, verse 14, when the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with a cup after supper, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed. And then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. The table is set. The Lord has invited us. Sometimes, you know, it seems like when we come to the table of Christ, we come sometimes reluctantly. We're reluctant because it's a ritual and it happens so frequently for us that maybe it doesn't have as much value as it once had. Sometimes we come hesitantly because we feel like we're perhaps not worthy to be able to receive from the grace of God. Sometimes we come not knowing exactly what we should expect, but God invites us all to come because it's one of the primary ways that God chooses to communicate with us. In the Lord's Supper, we have this opportunity to be able to hear from God in so many different ways with all of our senses. We can see it, we can taste it, we can touch it, we can experience something that is deeper than words can speak when we know that God's grace is evident to us and that God's deep desire is to share that grace with us. I want to invite you today as we come to the table not to come reluctantly, not to come with hesitation, but to come in the fullness of God's love that is poured out for every single one of us, knowing that God has a plan to be able to share with us, because we have this great opportunity to be able to receive. I was thinking about a story that was recalled by Bishop Reuben Job. It's a story about a Methodist pastor named Thomas Predipus. Predipus was a prisoner. He was incarcerated in a concentration camp with about 10,000 other men. And these men had all lost everything. They had been not only incarcerated, but they had lost their homes, and they had been cut off from communications from their families. And it was their first Easter together. And Predipus, as the pastor among the group, a group of believers came to him and said, "It's Easter. We'd love to be able to celebrate the Lord's Supper and to share it together." And Predipus said, "Well, we don't have any wine to be able to share. We haven't even received our daily ration of water. We don't even have water to share. And we don't have a loaf. We haven't received anything today at all. There's not a loaf, not a crumb of bread anywhere around." The people were literally starving in the moment. He said, "But we can do this. We can celebrate the communion of the empty hand." And he began to write about it in reflection after his release. And this is what he said. He said, "This meal in which we take part reminds us of the imprisonment, the torture, the death, and the final victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the bread is the body which he gave for humanity. The fact that we have none represents very well the lack of bread and the hunger of millions of human beings. And the wine which we don't have today is his blood and represents our dream of a united humanity and a just society without differences in race or class." And he prepared that group of believers gathered there on that Easter morning to celebrate the Lord's Supper, the supper of the empty hand. He pretended that he had a loaf of bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And with an empty hand, he gave it to the person to his right. And that person imagined that he broke off a portion, and he passed it to the next until they went all the way around the circle. Then Predipus said, "This is the body of Christ. Take, eat in remembrance of him." And they pretended that they ate and imagined what it was like to taste the bread. That same way, he took an imaginary chalice and he handed it to each one, and one by one they would pretend to be able to drink and to take part in the cup of Christ in that way. Today, as we come to the table, we have a beautiful chalice. We have bread that is abundant. We have the gift of grace that is available to all. All we have to do is call upon it and seek it, and God will do the rest. If you're reluctant, if you're hesitant, please come. If you wonder what might happen, please come. The power of the Spirit is yours. Let's pray together. Lord, we do pray that you would guide us, that we might be able to receive your blessing. So speak to us, lead us, guide our path as we share together this gift of grace. Encourage us, we pray. For this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen.
As you go forward, we pray that God's love would be evident in your life, and that you would share that love with others. Be sure to join us next Sunday morning for a time of worship and fellowship. Thanks for listening. God bless.